responsibly.
Now, there's a bit of detention at Middleton. Joining us, Tab DeConda. Hey, morning, Jared.
Yeah, good morning, Cozzy. How are you?
I'm well. We got some Tab jackpots.
Yeah, we sure do. When the Rose Hill meeting on Saturday, Cozzy, there's $100,000 in the first four for the last race there. On Sunday at Canamble, great part of the world, Canamble, there's $25,000 in the big six for the meeting there. And the day meeting at Tabcorp Park, Menangle, on Sunday, there's $20,000 in the quaddie. That's with the New South Wales Tab the next few days.
Fantastic. So some good ones to look forward to then.
Certainly is, Cozzy.
Good on you. Thanks, Jared.
Thanks again, mate.
Jared Middleton there, tab.com.au, the latest jackpots, 10 o'clock, Sky Sports Radio.
Tab Talk on Sky Sports Radio keeps you up to date with all your winter sports.
NRL, Aussie rules, rugby and American sports are all covered with key interviews from Buzz Rothfield every Friday.
Everything sport and racing, 7 mornings a week at 10. Tab Talk on Sky Sports Radio.
The Brothers War is by Warfront, one of the hottest young sires on the planet. Although from a classic staying family, the Brothers War was blessed with plenty of speed. The Brothers War was particularly chosen by Coringle for his pedigree and how well his bloodlines will complement so many mares in Australia. The Brothers War is from the same family as a host of black type horses and sires, including Dabawi. The Brothers War, standing his first season at Coringle Stud.
Data has the button. Stalls are back and racing. Field sent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set.
They're off. On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk. With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And Trent Langscale joining us. Good morning, Trent. How are you?
Going well, and yourself, Cozzy?
I am well. Have you recovered from that US Open, that unbelievable track they were on over there?
The extraordinary finish yesterday. We were watching intently. We thought that perhaps Jordan Spieth had it in the bag with two holes to play on the treacherous Chambers Bay course, and we'll have a chat to Paul Gall about that later on Tab Talk, just talking about how that course played, but Jordan Spieth looked like he had it. Then, all of a sudden, on the 17th, he had a double bogey and opened the door for Dustin Johnson. And then on the 18th, Dustin Johnson just a three-putt to not even force a playoff in the end that we'd be watching right now. That would be the playoff between him and Jordan Spieth. So now Spieth, a two-time major winner and a possibility of getting the Grand Slam this season. So looking forward intently to the British Open, which will tee off on July the 16th. From St Andrews, so that will be an absolute ripper.
I was only thinking last night, when you look at the contrast in courses, some of those wonderful one tracks they play in America, you know, and compare with that yesterday, I thought it's almost like tennis players having to go from the grass to the brick dust in Paris to the synthetic courts. You know, they play on probably three or four different surfaces. Almost a bit like that, but the golf, when you look at that, yeah, that was such a shock of a course.
Yes, well, you have the pristine conditions of Augusta National for the Masters, and everyone loves going there during April, and then all of a sudden the Open. But there was a lot of talk about how that course was compared to previous US Opens, and there was a lot of disappointment over the USGA who picked that course. It's the first time it'd been that far away from the east coast of America. They're in practically Seattle there at Chambers Bay, and just the length, and Mark Hayes, we talked about that, about the way it looked and how long it played, and then obviously you go to the British Open where it rotates around a few different courses, and they're more akin to that type of course, and then USPGA is usually a bit more friendly. But there were a lot of golfers that had to battle during those 4 days, and some of them weren't too complimentary on Chambers Bay.
Ah, right. Now, Matty Russell's about to join us now. And hello, Matt. How are you, mate?
Very well. I've really enjoyed the last week. A great origin game to set up this series decider at Suncorp, July 8th. And the week of footy that we've just seen, I thought it was fantastic. Some great club entertainment as well.
Now, Matty, you know, we sort of Queenslanders are probably still going to head between our knees. Not happy, you know that, don't you?
You do go back to Suncorp Stadium, though, and you've
you know that.
Six of your last seven there, or seven of your last eight. Anyway, too many to make a New South Wales fan feel too confident. But while I think that the Maroons will be a red-hot favourite up there for Game 3, I don't mind New South Wales' chances, even though there will be changes, I expect. I like the Blues. I think they're full of confidence. Yeah. And if any team can cause an upset, this 2015 team might just do what the Blues of 1994 did.
Well, it's funny, you know, because a mate of mine said to me the other day, he said, you know, the only other thing that the Queenslanders have ever done about 8 years in a row was kindergarten.
It's an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a low call, but anyway.
I failed every subject except recess. There's another one.
But what a great game it was, and what a great promotion for the sport in another state.
91,500 there, Sean. I reckon Trent would have been lapping up that atmosphere. And not only did we see a good crowd, but the crowd was treated to some good entertainment. Exciting play. There was some drama, some controversy regarding the no-try calls and a few melees, as they'd call them, in Melbourne. The players got a bit upfront and physical. No punches thrown like old Origins. But as a game, I thought it was a great spectacle and a fantastic way to set up this decider. It will be the most watched show on Australian television this year, and I can't wait.
And the other good thing was, I mean, you can't choreograph it, but there was some good scoring throughout the game. So from a spectacle being played in another state, everyone's going, wow, how good is this?
Yeah, and when you say how good is this, you've got to say how good is he. Aaron Woods, his running metres, his try, he's a player who seems to really enjoy his rugby league. He's a pleasure to watch, to be honest, and not only is he doing well for West's Tigers, he's doing well for New South Wales. Unlucky not to be man of the match in Origin 1, I reckon. So if he performs well in Game 3 and the Blues win, I reckon he'd be a very short price favourite to be man of the series.
All right, Matty, we'll come back in just a sec. We've got Race 1 Addington. We're about to go over the 295 metres. So I'll go as quick as Greg Inglis here, I reckon. And they're loading up now. Reserves not required. Number 2, you know, Shelley, the favourite at 410-104.
Really strong Class 1 field. Strugglers Wheels got box speed to put that in. Then I went 2, you know, Shelley. Improved run went 3rd from box number 1 last time out. So it's well boxed up there on the 2 today. And Ahoka Too Soon, despite drawing up on the inside. I think this dog goes better when it's wider, actually. Ahoka Too Soon, but it's certainly not the worst here in box number 1. I didn't know where to go for my best bet of the day. I think there's 2 standouts today, and I think maybe you just all up them. Race 3, number 2, no decision. Race 7, number 1, and that is no answer. They're both from the Gary Cleve kennels. I think they're both winners. They'll be both short, but look, very hard to go past them. I think they'll both win, and that might be the best way to go. That would be my best advice. I'm not overconfident about anything else during the day, so no, just all up the two that stand out, I think. No decision, race number 3, and no answer, race 5. I think they'll be both winners. So loading up here first of the day. 295 the trip here. Last couple have gone in. Favourite looks to be, gee, it's wide open, isn't it? You know, Shelley 410. Green light is through, but he set a motion. Set the jump in the first of the day. Ready? Racing, and the best out would have been in the centre. Bizarro showing up there. We've got round the outside Carboodle. Now off the track, Utsa Scrooge getting around. They're followed right in that bunch by Homebush Fine. Just behind them, you know, Shelley around the corner. Heading the front though on the inside. Bizarro, it's kicking. And down the outside, Strugglers Wheel gets up. And then a huge finish from Ahoka Too Soon. Strugglers Wheel, Ahoka Too Soon, Bizarro. Not far away, Carboodle. Utsa Scrooge was wide. Now behind those runners, we had, you know, Shelley. Homebush Fine was back there, and Dusty Ryder would have been back there as well.
Now, the numbers here will be 5, 1 and 4. Number 5, Strugglers Wheel, will pay for the win, $5.80 and $2. Second, number 1, Ahoka Too Soon, $1.90. And the third will be 4, Bizarro at $5.50. It'll be probably 5, 1, 4 there. Get confirmation of those numbers shortly.
Matt, as we come back to you, we'll talk on Origin 3 with the odds Queensland $1.73 and New South Wales $2.15. So anticipation will be building for Origin 3 in a few Wednesdays' time. While we're still on that, there's obviously the talking point about whether Cooper Cronk will return. And then in the last 24 to 48 hours, the charge on Canterbury's Josh Jackson, that he's charged with a grade 2 dangerous throw by the match review committee, and the talking point about Michael Jennings, who was stood down for last night but should be available for Origin 3.
Well, let's start with Michael Jennings. The reason that Laurie Daly has said he will play Origin 3, in contrast to Mitchell Pearce, who was stood down, is because Mitchell pleaded guilty to his famous girl in the yellow dress incident, whereas Michael Jennings will vigorously defend his charges. So because we have a presumption of innocence in Australia, Laurie Daly is happy for him to be suspended and fined at club level for being out so soon to a club game. But given the circumstances, Laurie Daly knows He is not suspending him for Origin. And given there's a key difference, one pleaded guilty, one has said, no, I'll vigorously defend, I'm not guilty, I can understand Laurie Daly's thinking. Let's go over to Josh Jackson. Unless he seeks a downgrade and is successful in getting it from grade 2 to 1, he will miss Origin 3. So then the question becomes, who do you go for? Will it be a forward for a forward, or do you bring in a utility, someone like Blake Austin? While I would like to see Blake Austin tested at that rep level, I've been speaking to Blocker Roach, who's pretty tight with the New South Wales camp. He reckons it will be forward for forward. So then, Tyson Frizzell or Ryan James, they're two blokes who would be rookies in Origin at the Cauldron for Game 3, or the experienced Luke Lewis. I reckon that's the way Laurie Daly will go. I think Luke Lewis will return for a series decider.
Just a couple more talking points for a series that won't need any more chatter about how great it's going to be. Like I said, Origin 3 coming up, and it was great to be there at the MCG last Wednesday night, Matt. And when they rose as one, when Greg Inglis was streaking down for what was thought to be the match-winning try, and it was called back, it was great to see the atmosphere there at the MCG. We'll talk about the round over the weekend, and we'll go about to last night. And the Sydney Roosters, really tough victory in their 19 points to 14 win over St George Illawarra at Allianz Stadium.
A great win by the Roosters, because no Sam Moa, no Jared Waria-Hargreaves, there's their two front rowers, their go-forward platform. Michael Jennings suspended as one of their more exciting backs. So down on troops, yet they beat St George Illawarra 19-14. Sean Kenny-Dowell was the star. The winger was the man of the match. Two tries. In fact, you might have heard Warren Smith and Greg Alexander saying that there has hardly been a highlight tonight that he hasn't been involved with some way. So well done, Sean Kenny-Dowell. Now second on the Roosters' all-time try-scoring list. Remember, they're a foundation club. So back to 1908, it's Minnie on top, followed by the man they call Skids, SKD, Sean Kenny-Dowell.
And looking at the premiership, the Sydney Roosters with that victory last night, they're back to being outright favourites at $4. You've got North Queensland at $4.50, Brisbane $5, South at $7, Canterbury at $8, and then there's a bit of a separation now, the St George Illawarra at $17, and then Melbourne the next best at $21. While we're on the subject of Queensland this morning, Matt, North Queensland and Brisbane, the Cowboys, the cardiac Cowboys, they did it again in the nation's capital on Saturday, and the Broncos, a strong defensive performance in their win over Melbourne at Amy Park.
Trent, I'm glad you've grouped those two clubs together, because Sean Cosgrove will be riding high in the saddle, very high in the saddle as we talk about these teams. Here's why. The Cowboys, 11 straight, and during that 11-game winning streak, seven times they've had to come from behind in the second half. Gee, that's a tough football team, isn't it? Seven from 11. They've trailed in the second half and won. They've had six straight road victories now as well. 21-20 against the Raiders in thrilling fashion, thanks to Jonathan Thurston, successful third time around with that field goal. So there you go. The Cowboys, plenty to like about their fighting spirit. Then you go over to the Broncos. Too good for Melbourne, 14-12. Despite the fact Melbourne had 57% of the ball, completed 36 of 40 sets, and forced 11 dropouts. If you force 11 dropouts, you don't lose too many footy games. But Brisbane's defence was outstanding. They've gone four in a row during the Origin period, which is tough for them. They are the same as the Cowboys now, 11-3. So the reason I'm happy you grouped those teams together, there are so many similarities, not the least of which is their fighting determination. So well done, Queensland. We might have an all Queensland NRL Grand Final, and wouldn't the call start north of the Tweed to play that somewhere in Queensland? Say, Maxville, Sean, somewhere around there?
Yeah, good on you. Now, Matty, actually, just looking at the ladder, when you look at games still to be played to sort of square it up a bit, almost 3 through to 12, gee, there's not much between them, is there?
No, there's not, and that's why we had a game on the weekend where the Warriors played the Titans. The Warriors won impressively, and as a result, they leapfrogged the Titans into the top eight, but they sort of see it as a four-point win. I know that's a cliche in rugby league, but not only do they take 2 points, but they take 2 points from a team that could very well be a rival come that last few weeks before the final. So over the next 8 weeks, we're going to see a host of those games between middle-tabled teams that are crucial, because each team that wins not only gets 2 points, but they take 2 points from a rival. So I'm glad you raised that aspect of the ladder.
Yeah, you look at them there at the moment, and as there's, you've got Panthers got to play another one to catch up, Sharks, a few of those, even Dragons on 13 at the moment. And that's going to be interesting when, you, as you said, you add those points, because somehow all of a sudden can really not leapfrog ahead, but you can get that break, that all-important break.
And I reckon the Sharks are one of those teams who could emerge in the back end of the season. They beat Newcastle 30-28. They've won 3 of 4 now. The likes of Jack Bird and Valentine Holmes are exciting youngsters who get better each week. We know they've got the experience, the likes of Gallen and Lewis and Ennis, and I can go on. And then you've got Ben Barber, who off the bench was dynamic, and that might be the way he is used for, well, the next few years in his career, really, to come off the bench at a key period in the eyes of Shane Flanagan and deliver. He delivered on the weekend. He changed the game. The Sharks win. They're on the charge. They're one of the hotter teams in the comp at the moment.
Well, we'll have a look at round 16, Matt, and it's a full round of matches, so that's great to see. And we'll start with the doubleheader on Friday night. So at ANZ Stadium, South $1.35 against Manly at $3.25, while at Suncorp Stadium, the latter leading Brisbane Broncos $1.20 against Newcastle at $4.50.
Short, aren't they, at $1.20, the Broncos, but you couldn't really be on the Knights. They are in a hole. I know they finished within 2 points of Cronulla, but they've had just one win since that unbeaten month to start the comp. I can't see them beating Brisbane in Brisbane, so you'll either take the $1.20 or look for the line maybe in that game. Trent, what are we talking about there? Are the lines available to?
Not as yet, but you'd imagine with $1.20 that it'd be probably in the low teens, maybe 10.5 around that area.
Yeah, even then, the Broncos might be good enough to cover. And as for the Rabbitohs playing the Eagles were good against West Tigers at Brookvale, but the Bunnies, the defending premiers, are a different proposition, and I reckon that the Rabbits will be winning that one. The two home teams to get us going in round 16.
Okay, and then we head to Saturday at Mount Smart Stadium at 3 o'clock. The Jekyll and Hyde Warriors, $1.45 against Canberra at $2.75. The 5:30 match from 1300 Small Stadium in Townsville, North Queensland, $1.33 to go 12 straight against the hot Cronulla at $3.25. And then 7:30 at Pertec Stadium, Parramatta $2.20 against St George Illawarra at $1.67.
I'll get to the easy one first. The Cowboys at home, I'm taking them. I was burnt on the weekend by going for Canberra. When a team's on a roll, just stick with them until the roll is over. So I'm back on the Cowboys this weekend. And the Warriors, you mentioned Jekyll and Hyde. Well, it was illustrated by them beating the Titans because they lost to the Titans on Anzac Day at Mount Smart Stadium and badly. Then a few weeks down the track, they come to the Gold Coast and win. So what are they going to give us this weekend against the Raiders? Well, at Mount Smart, they should be winning, but the Raiders, they're a team that can cause an upset, and not with a lot of confidence. I'll go with the Warriors. Eels, Dragons. Eels are in a big hole. They're trying to secure Kieran Foran at the moment. I don't know whether they're concentrating on beating the Dragons, who were very good last night. So St George, Illawarra for me.
Okay, and then we get to the two Sunday matches. The first of these 2 o'clock from Central Coast Stadium. You've got Sydney Roosters $1.13 against Gold Coast at $6. And then the 4 o'clock match from Leichhardt Oval, West Tigers $1.75 and Penrith $2.05.
People keep asking, I know, why are the Roosters premiership favourites? It's just illustrated that they are outright premiership favourites. When you've got the two Queensland teams on top, I can agree with it. I've watched the Roosters with so much admiration this season. I think they're timing their run. They've got good forwards, the star-studded back line. They'll be beating the Titans, who they're going to go to park footy this weekend to try and find some players. They played the Warriors with 11 first-pick players out. That injury list has lengthened, so the Roosters will do that one easily. Tigers-Panthers is a bit tougher, but the Tigers will beat the Panthers, you'd think, given the really rollercoaster ride through 2015 for the Panthers. They've been disappointments in my eyes. Yes, they have excuses, but so does every team, and they've gone backwards.
Yes, that injury bug for the Panthers, they just have struggled this year with it as well. And then Monday night from the Belmore Sports Ground, Canterbury $1.53 against Melbourne at $2.50.
You know, boys, I remember catching the train to Belmore Oval and sitting on the hill. I didn't think we'd ever go back to those days, but we're going to, and good luck to the Dogs. Back to their traditional home ground, Belmore Oval against the Storm, and the Dogs should be winning there. Belmore will give them a huge lift, and the Storm, if they play as well as they did against Brisbane, they'll win. I've just got questions whether they can do that 2 weeks in a row, especially on the road, and especially no Slater, no Cronk. So the Dogs to go back-to-back with that win.
Alrighty, Matty, good to catch up with you again, mate. You got a good big week lined up?
We have indeed. There never is a quiet week in rugby league during the season, and we'll get through this week in a full 8 games, and then we're into Origin weekend again.
Yeah, fantastic. Good on you, mate. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, mate.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Russell joining us there. Now, it is 20 past 10 at Sky Sports Radio. And Sky Sports Radio golf expert is Paul Gow. He would have been watching, I think, fascinated at the US Open. I'd be interested to hear Paul's thoughts on the track over there. He joins us now. Morning, Paul.
Yeah, morning, guys.
Mate, that was an amazing golf course. The rough, I said yesterday, I think it was to Trent, that there could have been people living in there. You wouldn't have known. It was that long, some of it, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you get lost in some of that. A small man would be lost for sure. But it was an interesting golf course. It was probably an experiment by the USGA gone wrong, in the sense that they put this fescue grass down that you wouldn't know from the fairway to the green. It was the same grass. And it died off and got a bit of a disease through it, and it didn't come across on television very well at all. So it was just brown. The boys were playing on some dirt on about the sixth or seventh hole. Supposedly when you play golf courses, it should be on grass.
Yeah. Paul, one thing I noticed, a lot of short putts were missing. Was it just the speed of the course? Was it the surface? What was it?
Yeah, no, it was the surface. With that fescue grass, they actually had poena grass that got infested in the course about 8 months ago, and they couldn't get it out. It's the type of stuff that you would see on your greens here in Sydney at different golf courses and in Melbourne, and they couldn't get it out. So they did the best job they possibly could, and it was very bumpy. So those camera angles that you'd see down low that you thought a putt would drop in, well, it just hit one of those poena pieces and missed. So, but it was an exciting tournament anyway.
I looked at a couple of those holes and thought from where you teed off, you couldn't possibly see the green almost.
Yeah, it was over 7,900 yards long, so that's 7,000 metres long, which is just ridiculous length. So, par fours that are nearly 500 metres long, so you'd have to hit two 250-metre shots to get there. But, keep in mind, some of these guys like a Dustin Johnson hitting the ball, he averaged 318 metres for the week. So that's a long hit.
With everything that happened at the Open there, Paul, it provided great theatre yesterday for the galleries and for those watching around the world. Despite the conjecture, and there was plenty from current and former players about the golf course, did it detract from the event, or was what happened yesterday, those final holes, just enough to get away from that detraction?
Yeah, well, I think in those last final holes it got it away from it, but it was the talking point. I've played a couple of US Opens, and the USGA, they try to make a little bit controversial and different to every other tournament that you play on the US Tour, and they seem to do that every year. And the players normally take it on the chin and they move on. This is probably the most uproar I've seen from players. Probably 95% of the players dislike the entire golf course, the design of the golf course, the condition of the golf course probably is the biggest thing. But when you get the likes of Gary Player, a legend of the game, calling it the worst ever US Open he's ever seen, well, there must be some problems, because you never hear Gary Player complain about those things.
And there was the punting on broccoli as well that was thrown around by one of the players, so weren't too sure exactly how you'd putt on broccoli, but yes, there was plenty of talk about how that course was, but obviously it provided great theatre yesterday. And one of the players that probably didn't concern himself about the golf course was Jordan Spieth, who won yesterday. Plenty of poise shown, because he looked low as had he had it in the bag at the 16th, but then he had the double bogey at the 17th, and then just had to, after the birdie at the 18th, just had to wait and see, and it proved oh so crucial in the end.
Yeah, well, he's just one of the. He didn't have his A game that week. When he won at the Masters this year, he had his A game. He blew the whole field away. But this year, at the US Open, it probably wasn't his A game, and they're all coming at him. But he just hung in there. He's just a tough kid. 21 years of age, and now he's won two majors. He's just this tough kid that's he found a way to win. When it was not at his best, and he had a little help from Dustin Johnson there. But he's the first person in my lifetime that I'll see go for a calendar Grand Slam that's never been done in golf.
Paul, was that the toughest golf course you've seen a title like that played on?
Oh no, there's been other tougher ones than that. It was probably the ugliest golf course I've ever seen. it wasn't very picturesque. The likes of Bethpage, Black, where they played, and they're shooting Oakmont, where they only had one or two under par that won the event. Let's keep in mind that five or six under par won the event. So they softened the golf course up on the weekend just so the scores weren't going to get too out of control and the players stopped complaining somewhat. It wasn't the toughest, but it definitely wasn't the prettiest.
Mm.
And from the thrill of victory for Spieth, and you touched on it as well, Paul, there's the agony of defeat for Dustin Johnson. And it looked like at least there would be a playoff, which we'd be watching right now, but just heartbreaking after he's been close in a couple of majors now, and just really tough to watch that three putt on the 18th yesterday.
Yeah, it was hard to watch. I'm sure the next few nights won't be a good sleep for Dustin Johnson. And he has done it. You're right. He's done it three or four times that he's been in contention on the last few holes to win a major, and doesn't seem to be able to get across the line. And that one, I thought he might. He only had 11 feet downhill, left to right, but he just got a bit excited, pulled the putt, and ran it three feet by, and then he had a terrible putt for his backup putt there. And you'll think about that for a while, but I think now he's got a different life. He's got a family life. I think he'll just move on and play the next tournament. He still did win a bunch of money, and he contended in the tournament. He'll win a major at some time, just don't know when. But those golf courses that he's playing like that, he's such a brute of a hitter, and he pulls them apart.
He's just on that unfortunate list at the moment of golfers, the best of not to have won a major, and he'd be looking to get off that pretty quickly. We'll touch on the Australians. There's just a gamut of emotions for all of them that finished in the top 10. Adam Scott had a great 64 yesterday, but he left his run too late. Cameron Smith, outstanding in his first major to finish where he did. And Jason Day, who was so brave after all those frightening scenes that we saw on Saturday morning with the Vertigo.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jason Day, I'll hit on him first. That was a big effort. I think he was spent going to the back nine. He was that tired. The Vertigo had really taken a lot out of him. He's had to, other than trying to contend in the major or win a major, he's had to work on the Vertigo on the way around, keep his head level, not bend down too much. And there's a lot of that in golf. I think it was an inspirational effort. I know it's not a life-threatening type of issue that he had, but it was tough to play golf with, and he done a really good job. Adam Scott, obviously, when Steve Williams gets back in the bag, he grows another leg because he hasn't contended for a while since Steve hasn't been there, and probably for me, Cameron Smith, 21-year-old from Queensland. Coached up there by Grant Field, it was a magnificent effort for a 21-year-old to tied fourth on the biggest stage he's ever been on, and bigger and better things for him now, because he's now got a US Tour card. He's got a temporary membership for the US Tour, so now we'll be playing against those guys every week.
Terrific, Paul. Just hang on one sec. They're almost set race two, Addington.
Handy boy, so about to be called up. First leg of the quaddy. Dream Large, Botany's End, though too much, Rebel, Taylor's Friend, Midnight Sprite, Token Jump, Kenny's Comet, and Candy Boy. $1.50 now for Dream Collector, Dream Large, I should say, off the inside. And the last couple being boxed up. Race two, green light is through, the money set in motion, they're about to jump. First leg of the early quaddy, set, racing, Dream Large stood there and missed the jump, and Best Out would have been wide. Kenny's Comet potted out by Token Jump, getting around the outside, Candy Boy, then Botany's Envo, out wide of Taylor's Friend, well back, the others headed by Midnight Sprite. Dream Large can't do it around the corner, in front is Kenny's Comet kicking away, Kenny's Comet will score. Then we've got second, Token Jump, Botany's Envo, a length or two to Candy Boy, the disappointing favourite, Dream Large was next, then Too Much Rebel, and towards the tail, Taylor's Friend.
6-4-3 then. Number 6, Kenny's Comet, 31-38-20. 4, Token Jump, 273. Botany's Endo, 150. 6, Kenny's Comet, 31-38-20. 4, Token Jump, 270. And 3, Botany's Endo, $1.50.
Paul, we'll just finish up on the British Open. The market is already open, and Rory McIlroy is the $5 favourite. Jordan Spieth at $7. Dustin Johnson at 15. Adam Scott at 17. And then a gap to Ricky Fowler, Louis Oosthuizen, and Justin Rose. They're all 21. And Jason Day's a $26 chance. It is a bit early. They're still a month away from the tee off, but it's going to be great to see Jordan Spieth now. The interest will be heightened as he goes for, as you talked about, the Grand Slam in the calendar year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, the hype will be there. And you can imagine, he's just won around here. He won the Australian Open around a tough golf course back there last year at the Australian Golf Club. I can't see why St Andrews will be any different for this kid. It seems that he can do the lot. McIlroy, he played really well this week without winning, and our own Adam Scott, with obviously he's had some near misses at the British Open, he's got to be a chance at $21, I'd say.
All right, well, we appreciate your help this morning, Paul. It's been a fantastic few days with the it's been one of those courses you almost couldn't take your eyes off, could you?
No, it was captivating at times.
Yeah, too right. Good to catch up. We'll talk with you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Paul. Paul Gow there, our golf expert on Sky Sports Radio. And, Trent, we're going to catch you through the day. Any more odds for us?
Will do, Cozzy. Just quickly, we did have a special on the US Open, and if you backed a player before they teed off and they were leading after rounds one, two,